Donald Trump brands himself as a political outsider, but for more than a quarter century, he played the ultimate insider's game in New Jersey, where political deals require relationships and cash. WNYC's Matt Katz found the presumptive Republican nominee rails against money in politics, but he made his wealth in New Jersey by hiring lobbyists and wooing politicians from Atlantic City to Trenton.
Everybody in New Jersey politics has a Donald Trump story. One morning in the mid-1980s, Governor Tom Kaine walked into his office at the State House in Trenton. His secretary said Donald Trump, the casino owner from Atlantic City, was on the phone. Kaine figured Trump wanted something from him.
Well, I said, Donald, I'm very, very busy. What can I do for you? He said, really nothing. He said, it was a beautiful day today. I thought somebody had to call you and tell you you're the best governor in the country. And I thought, he's not such a bad guy.
Over the last 35 years, Trump has golfed and broken bread with just about every major political power broker in the state. That helped him survive his failures and catch a lot of breaks. He built his name brand off his New Jersey casinos, all of which went bankrupt. He bought a professional football team here called the New Jersey Generals, but it lasted only 2 years. And he opened 3 golf courses, which pay little in taxes. All along the way, Kaine says Trump took a hands-on approach to politics. He had to.
I mean, the others sort of went in the pack, and he was different. I mean, he did things differently. He would sort of come to see you separately. And it was evident to me from day one that he was very, very smart and very, very tactful.
Trump buttonholed legislators in Trenton to lobby for tax breaks for his casinos. He turned one senator's office into his temporary headquarters so he could use the phone in between lobbying legislators. Former U.S. Senator and Congressman Bob Torricelli said Trump was excellent at convincing politicians of his viewpoints.
You couldn't be in public office in New Jersey in the 80s and 90s and not have frequent encounters with Donald Trump. He was as much of a fixture in our state as the turnpike or the shore.
Trump once flew his helicopter to Trenton and landed on the helipad of the state attorney general who was in charge of regulating his casinos. Trump and Attorney General David Sampson went for lunch at a steakhouse. Another time, Trump needed an unusual approval from the local planning board in Bedminster to build a mausoleum for himself at Trump National Golf Club. So Trump simply hired a former head of the planning board to lobby for him. Here's that planning board member, Ed Russo, telling NPR in 2012 why Trump wanted to be laid to rest on his golf course.
If you have everything in the world, where would be that place you want to most be identified with going forward? His point was, this is a place where people respect each other.
Trump got his mausoleum approved. In the same way, New Jersey casino regulators repeatedly gave him the green light to borrow more money and build more casinos. That was despite a heavy reliance on debt and his ties to the mob. Part of the stated mission of regulators was to keep the mob out of Atlantic City. But despite Trump's documented business and personal relationships with reputed mobsters, they gave him a pass. 2 regulators were appointed to highly coveted judgeships shortly after approving Trump for casino licenses. That raised eyebrows because they were made judges by governors whose sources say were eager to satisfy Trump, one of the state's biggest employers. As a casino owner, Trump was barred by state law from contributing to campaigns. So instead, according to David K. Johnston, a journalist who covered Trump at the time, he provided gifts to politicians of another sort.
There were favored seats at boxing matches or concerts. There were deeply discounted bills for people who had parties or weddings at the casinos. There were limo rides, to go to events. Donald was in a position to dazzle people, and given his celebrity status, just to get a picture shot with him or be able to say you were his guest at a party had value.
Trump found other ways of injecting money into politics. In 1982, when Trump needed Atlantic City zoning approvals for his first casino, contractors who worked for Trump funded nearly half of the winning mayoral candidate's war chest. Over the years, Trump spent millions on New Jersey lobbyists, lawyers, spokespeople, and political operatives, many of whom then contributed money to important politicians. In 1998 alone, Trump casinos and hotels paid $444,000 to outside lobbyists. That was second most of any entity in the state. Records show Trump kept several lobbyists and lawyers on retainer at a time. One of Trump's top lawyers was his brother-in-law, John Barry, who worked at a firm founded by an attorney general who oversaw his casinos. Torricelli says Trump was well-connected throughout the state.
Donald did not content himself with simply speaking with governors or senators. He actually built relationships in the political organizations and through the political hierarchy.
The top of the political hierarchy in New Jersey is George Norcross. He's a Democratic insurance executive who has control over who gets on the ballot and which way legislators vote. Trump became friends with Norcross just as Norcross gained influence in Atlantic City. They golfed together. Norcross landed the insurance contracts for Trump casinos. When Norcross bought a home near Trump's Mar-a-Lago resort in Florida, he brought Trump over to check out the new digs. And then, in 2006, Tim O'Brien, author of the book Trump Nation, was sued by Trump for libel in Camden County. O'Brien says he knew that Camden County was Norcross's center of power.
I don't know that we were surprised by it being in southern Jersey. We were curious about it.
After all, Norcross was once caught on tape during a corruption investigation, boasting of his control over the appointment of judges. Not only did Trump sue O'Brien in Norcross's backyard, Trump hired Norcross's top lawyer to represent him.
We always believe that the reason they wanted venue in southern Jersey is that Donald thought he could leverage some political connections he had down there by virtue of the operations he also had in Atlantic City to get favorable treatment in the courts.
The gambit didn't work. Trump lost the case. But another time, Trump did win a favorable tax break in the legislature. Republicans allege that Norcross strong-armed it through for Trump. In New Jersey, Trump, the Republican outsider, is a Democratic insider. Trump's daughter Ivanka recently contributed more than $10,000 to the campaign of Norcross's brother, Donald, a Democratic congressman from South Jersey. And in 2000, when Trump briefly toyed with running for president on the Reform Party ticket, Norcross's top political operative worked for him. Today, that operative, Steve Askew, is the second in command for Hillary Clinton's campaign in New Jersey. For WNYC, I'm Matt Katz.